Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Do you remember your sex education? Was it helpful to you? Was it filled with scientific information rather than real, practical advice? I'm Diggory Waite, and this is The Real Sex Education. In this podcast, I'll be interrogating sexual myths, posing sex questions to special guests, and opening up our mailbox to answer your relationship conundrums. In order to do this, though, I need an expert. A sexpert, if you will. But the only sex and relationship therapist I know is my mum. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Hello, and welcome to The Real Sex Education. I'm Diggory Waite, and I'm joined, as ever, by accredited sex and relationship therapist Kate Campbell. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Diggs.
This is the podcast in which our lovely listeners send us, and mainly you, questions about sex, relationships, and sort of everything in between.
And we answer pictures them. Of their lunch.
Oh, yes. Keep the pictures of your lunch coming in, people. If you want to send those in to us, please find us. We're at The RSC Pod on Instagram, TikTok, and X.
Formerly known as Twitter.
Wonderful. And you can send us your pictures of your lunch there and your questions as well. Also, we have an anonymous Google form in the bio of this episode and those social media channels that I mentioned where you can send your anonymous questions there. I know some of you like to be anonymous about this because, of course, being sex and relationships, it's sometimes quite a private subject. But there's nothing private about this episode. It's going public. We're publishing it and we're going live now. Mum, would you like your first question of the day?
Go on then.
I think the subject line for this question is, am I too old for sex?
Never.
Good. That's a good start. Hello, both. My question is in relation to too old for sex? There it is. My wife is 49 and I am 56. We have three wonderful now adult children in their early 20s. As I've got older, I've noticed my sex drive has decreased and my ticker isn't quite the same anymore. As a man of a certain age, I do get problems with my prostate and my wife complains how I regularly need to go to the bathroom. My wife has just gone through her menopause and has since not been in the mood for sex, whilst it's something I'm keen on but also don't have motivation for it. Our children are considering having their own children and we'd love to be grandparents. As me and my wife are now becoming a middle-aged couple, I'm finding myself getting erectile dysfunction and constantly needing the toilet. Me and my wife are sadly not young teenagers anymore, and we prefer to have an intimate cuddle on the sofa, on the soft, or kitchen, rather than sexual intercourse. Sorry, I did read that verbatim. Our three children see us cuddled up together, and our eldest child said, "Aren't you too old for sex now?" Me and my wife had a serious conversation about this, and we both asked ourselves, does youth really matter when it comes to sex? We mostly have sex once every 6 months, sometimes longer. Although I'm the frisky one, my wife always says, you only last a few minutes, so what's the point? Thank you both for my long paragraph, and take care. So
he lasted a long time there then, didn't he?
it was quite long. Okay, so you kind of answered it at the top there, but I think we can break this down, as we love to, into a number of questions for you. Yeah. Let's start with this.
Can I ask you a question? Do you think when he says his tickers are not up to much, he means his willy? Or does he mean his heart?
Yeah, that's interesting. Maybe he does mean his heart. And I think when he talks about his heart, I think he talks about his general sort of physical performance, I would imagine.
Because sex is good for your heart health, isn't it? On the whole.
Well, you tell me, is it?
Yeah. Wow. I mean, intercourse is a very, very good form of exercise, of light exercise. It's not too strenuous. Yeah. And for most people, unless they've been actually told by a medical practitioner not to do it, it's really, really good for you. So you should. I mean, apart from all the good health hormones that you get when you have sex, and it's very good for the prostate. Ejaculating is very good for the prostate. And the exercise is good for your body.
I believe you can burn up to 5 calories when you have sex if it's vigorous.
Five calories.
I was thinking
not so much about losing weight, but more about, you know, exercising your heart.
Oh, absolutely right. I don't think you should, you know, quit your gym membership and just start having sex instead. But I just think, you know, the burning up to 5 calories thing might just prove that it's good to stay fit and healthy, and you can do that by having sex. So, like he says about his ticker, don't worry about that. Maybe that's a reason to do it more. At 56 and 49, are they too old for sex?
They're really young.
Really?
They're really young, yeah.
But we do, on average, and again, on average, this isn't everyone, but people do have sex less frequently as they get older. You know, in their 20s, that's when things, the stats suggest, peak.
No. But there's lots of different stats from different places. I mean, I think around the world, people are having less sex.
Because
it's too much trouble. But for people in relationships, potentially they're having more. And the thought is that the sex changes. If you're in a long relationship, if you're in a new relationship, they'd be at it like rabbits. You know.
Yeah.
Well,
they're not teenagers anymore, which is what they're saying. But yeah.
Absolutely. But there's nothing wrong with not having sex at all. Obviously, there's nothing wrong with that. If you don't want to, that's absolutely fine. If you want to change it up and do other things which aren't intercourse but which are sexual, that's fine. It doesn't matter whether you orgasm or not. It's you do you is the thing.
Mm-hmm.
What's sort of bothering me about this is that it feels as if they're just saying, well, we're done now. We're done. We're not interested in changing things.
I mean, if they
want to, but they're not going to because they're closing down at 49.
Mm. Yeah, 49 does feel young to be doing that.
Well, 56 does too.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Both.
You know, there was some research done a little while ago with people in older age groups, and women's satisfaction with their sex lives peaked at 80.
Wow, what? It's because they were done.
No, it wasn't.
It was all over. All their years of being disappointed were behind them.
No, they had not given up. These were people who were sexually active. Obviously, they weren't going to have a look at people who had given up and had closed the shop. Yeah.
So are you too old for sex? Absolutely not. But in their current relationship, what's going on right now is they're not having sex. And they do want to be.
Let's go through it bit by bit.
Yeah, sure.
Right, but we have three wonderful children. Wonderful. Now, what the children have got to do with it, I really don't know.
I do think that's interesting because I almost thought about cutting some of those lines because I was like, what are they doing here?
So they're maybe saying, oh, well, we've ticked the box. We've done the breeding bit. So are we allowed to give up now?
Also, it's like they clearly feel a pressure from their kids because it's their kids that spark the conversation. When their kids were like, aren't you guys too old for sex, when they saw them cuddling? And can I just say as an aside, you know, you mentioned intimate things that aren't having sex, and you said that it's okay to not have sex. The cuddling on the sofa, there's a lot of married couples who've had loads of kids who don't bother with that.
I know. That's impressive that they want to do that.
Exactly. And I think that even having the conversation off the back of what their kids said is good, because that's a form of communication and they're talking about it.
But I wondered whether they thought, oh, kids have brought that up. Hooray! We can have the conversation now and give up.
Oh, really? Are you getting that from the author of this as well? Because as they say, it, and we're quite right too, we need to come up with several theories. And when you listen to this, dear listener, you can think about which one fits your situation. But I also, maybe I'm skipping ahead a bit here, but is the wife not helping here if she's saying, you only last a few minutes, so what's the point?
You are skipping ahead, but yes, I mean, she can do one, quite honestly, saying something like that. I mean, that's just really unhelpful.
Because also, can I just say as well, I wonder whether hearing that isn't helping. So the erectile difficulties, let's talk about those. So when you get older, erectile difficulties may be more...
They're probably not difficulties. I mean, people expect to be the way they were when they were 18.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not. I mean, as you get older, the erection isn't going to be as hard. it's going to maybe wear off if you're concentrating on something you're doing or, you know, you're distracted. Doesn't mean you aren't aroused. Mm. And a lot of people will think, oh, you know, I'm not arousing to my partner because he hasn't got an erection. But actually, he might be extremely aroused. And, you know, it is lots of people do have orgasms with no erection. So that is possible as well. So, you know, don't get too hung up on that.
That's a really nice way of framing it. You know, it's not erectile difficulties because, like you say, it's the relative framing. If you're framing it from against what you were like as a rabbity teenager, then that's one thing. But we are looking now at 56. You're just working with a different tool.
You'd expect it. Working with the same tool, but it
well, yeah, but you know, the tool is a bit older, more experienced,
and it's more experienced, and also, and that's a really good point, because what the research says about men and sexuality is that they may have sex less often, but they enjoy it more than they did when they were younger. They savor it more. It's slower. It's more about intimacy and connection than it was. And they're more able to see it for what it is. I mean, he still seems to be at that tick in the box stage.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I need to get the job done. I'm a man. And actually, there's a lot more to it. Now, some of the giving up might be because they think there's no point. I mean, if you keep on approaching somebody and they rebuff you, then you give up in the end. And you also quell, unconsciously sometimes, just push down your arousal and your desire. Mm. So then you have no arousal and desire and you think, oh, well, that's gone. So that's physically gone. But it isn't. It's a psychological thing. You've made it happen.
Yeah, yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case, is when, you know, you have tried things, your wife is gone, what's the point? You don't last very long anyway, which probably won't help your erectile difficulties if you are having them. And it also maybe speaks to, you know, an understanding of sex that is, like you say, very just like point A to point B, you know, just
precisely,
like, which isn't, for her sake and yours, just like chilling out and having fun and doing stuff that isn't necessarily like get an erection, keep an erection, have a cum, and that's it.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what an awful lot of people think. And I mean, if he's coming very quickly, it's probably because it's so long since the last time. You know, he probably desires her a lot, which is nice.
Yeah.
So don't get hung up on that.
Yeah,
and there
are
so many other things you can do. And maybe if you were doing it more often, and maybe if you went again the next morning or something, you know, maybe you'd last a bit longer. Sometimes that happens.
Well, I mean, I don't want to give away an exclusive here, but we were talking off air. Which, you know, tells you, we don't save these conversations from when we're on air, but you were talking about how sometimes premature ejaculations, and it's known to many people, we like to call it early ejaculation, can be a superpower.
It certainly can. I think we have discussed this before, because a lot of people with early ejaculation will come once and then be able to go again really quickly, much more quickly than other people who don't have early ejaculation. And sometimes that's because they've trained themselves to come fast because they've been masturbating, fear of being caught out or something like that. Sometimes people squeeze their penis so it seeps, in fact. So they have a seepy kind of cum the first time, and then they have a more squirty one the second time.
Yeah.
But a lot of people can go again really quickly. And so, you know, I definitely would see it as a superpower. Definitely.
Yeah. For some people. It might not be the case with this guy, but for some people, it's not the be-all and end-all.
I think this is psychological, though, with this guy. I mean, if he does have cardiovascular problems, they should definitely check that out. He needs to check out his testosterone as well, just to be on the safe side. And I will refer you back to our episode with Dr. Janine David, where we talk about testosterone. So there are lots of physical reasons. And we recently heard on the news about research saying there are a couple of times in our lives when we age quickly. So you might find that a lot of things are going wrong all at once. And they came up with like 44 and 60 or something like that. But that's the average. So around that age, which they both are, they could both be having some accelerated changes. So it's worth getting them checked out. It's not worth saying, oh, I've just got these things and they're normal for someone. No, they're not, though. Go and get it checked. You don't just have to say, oh, well, I'm getting older, therefore I'm going to fall apart. No. You don't have to do that.
You don't have to do that. I mean, let's just quickly talk about one of the accelerated changes, because we talked about his, but obviously the menopause is one thing that we've mentioned here. I mean, what's going on for her?
Well, I would like to. Well, she's potentially perimenopausal, so she may well be put off sex because of hot flushes or sweating or that sort of thing, which is very unpleasant. She might be more irritable. She might have more anxiety during the week her period was due if she misses it or whatever. It all depends. I mean, people all have different kinds of symptoms. But the big thing, I think, for people when they're starting to not ovulate, they do not notice that peak of desire that comes with the hormones that you release around the time you ovulate. If you don't ovulate, you don't have the hormones. So a lot of women think they've lost their desire when they actually haven't. Their desire is exactly the same as it was before. They're just not having this peak that comes with ovulation. And so they think they're done. Actually, although estrogen does have a role, testosterone is the big role in desire in women, and men. So that doesn't start to fall. And even then, it's not that significant until 12 years after your last period.
Wow.
So that's not where she is.
No.
People think they are, but it's the symptoms that they're reacting to rather than a whole loss of libido. And I mean, and it goes down in research and stuff. As women experience loss of libido, they don't actually. They're noticing symptoms and they're calling it that.
Wow. Well, this is, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm hearing a lot of green shoots here. This sounds like good stuff. And like I say, I just want to remind people again, and I just remind this lovely writer, if they're listening in, about the other shows of intimacy. The cuddling is good. I do think that you guys, I mean, we've said that maybe your wife's comments haven't been very helpful, but you know what? They may be few and far between, and it may be the kind of thing that's stuck in your head, but actually, it's just something that's stuck in your head because it was said once and it would. And I would understand why that would play on you.
I mean, she might have been irritable. This might have been one of the irritable weeks, you know. Yeah, and he might have been talking about sex quite a lot, and she might have been wanting to say, right, I'll say something to shut you up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, and I don't think we condone that behaviour. I really don't think we can condone that behaviour. Oh, God. Right, fine. Well, she gets away with it with you.
Hang on. My wife has just gone through her menopause. And has not been in the mood for sex. Well, oh, gosh. So that's interesting. Now, HRT can sometimes perk people up as well. But
what is HRT?
Hormone replacement therapy.
Right.
So if you've actually had your last period and you know it's your last period, and at 49, that's still, you know, reasonably young to be having your last period, you may start to notice things like the estrogen affects things like vaginal dryness. And there's a heck of a lot you can do about that. You can get lube, obviously, but you can get hormonal pessaries and things. You can even buy things over the counter now. So it's definitely worth talking to your doctor about that sort of thing. His prostate problems, if he's constantly shuffling off to the bathroom, I mean, I guess that's, you know, and going on about it all the time, I guess that's probably a bit of a turn off. But he does not need to put up with an enlarged prostate. Absolutely, you should be getting that checked. You should really, really, really get that checked. Mm. Make sure it's not anything worse than an enlarged prostate, for one thing. But also, don't put up with it. Go and see your doctor.
Yeah. Well, what if they have and that's just, and this is their normal?
It's still treatable. Mm. Okay. Remember, our king was treated for an enlarged prostate.
Wow. Our king. Yes. Mm. What are next steps for these two? Because I think we should talk about these two as a unit, because I think they've had this initial conversation. How far that's gone in whatever direction, I'm not too sure. It doesn't sound like, I wonder, I've asked you the question. I'll let you answer it. How about that?
Well, no, I'm thinking. I mean, I see a lot of couples like this that just come for one session. And they just want to know what they can do, what they need to be worried about, what they shouldn't be worried about. They just want to sort of check in. Mm. So obviously that's a possibility, but I would definitely get medical checks. For the stuff that you think could be physical, you should not be putting up with it. You absolutely shouldn't. Because apart from anything else, having a regular sex life is really good. I mean, for women, it adds years onto your life to be having sex regularly, more than men.
Wow.
So, you know, don't give up on that area of your relationship unless you really, really think, you know, I can't be asked, I'm done, and I just like a cuddle on the sofa. That's absolutely fine. Nothing wrong with that. And if you change your mind, also you know, go back and check it out. But if you've got any physical symptoms, always get them checked. I know how hard it is to get a doctor's appointment, but seriously, get them checked. And don't think, oh, well, it's only sex. You know that. I mean, it's not. It's also, you know, who wants to be getting up and going to the loo all the time? Erectile dysfunction, if you've got it as well, if erectile difficulties, if you actually have them, if you are finding difficulty getting an erection, it can be a sign of heart problems or cardiovascular problems. It can be a sign of diabetes. It is very, very important. It's often the first sign of some physical conditions, which are really, really treatable. Don't let it get worse. Do not spend all the night going to the loo. Not nice, not fun. Do not spend all your time thinking, oh, I haven't, my erection's not good enough. If you're still getting morning erections, you know, and erections when you masturbate, and that's okay, there probably isn't a problem. If you're not, there very definitely is, because that should still be happening at your age.
Right. Wow. Well, a lot to take in there. And I guess, basically, I think it needs a conversation about that for the both of you. And if you both want to explore and think about what the nice new normal for you both is there.
Yeah. And whatever happens, if there are changes to be made, it might be worth seeing a sex therapist just for a one-off. And if you're finding it difficult to get back into being sexual again, then it is definitely worth seeing a sex therapist.
Yeah.
They will still send you to the doctor, though. They will all do that.
Oh, well, a trip to the doctor is just guaranteed at this point. Okay, wonderful. What is also guaranteed at this point is we're going to have a little break and come back with one more question after this. Welcome back to The Real Sex Education After School, I think we call this one, which is fun when we answer your sex and relationship questions. We've got another one here. It is from Woman18, and they say, how would you figure out pleasure from masturbating away from porn and pornographic content, e.g. erotic literature, audios, ?
I don't understand the question.
So I completely agree, right? I sort of feel like there's a couple of ways around answering this question. How do you figure out pleasure from masturbating away from porn?
I mean, I think they're asking about masturbating without a prompt, without an erotic cue.
Yeah.
So that's called fantasy.
Yes. And using your imagination.
Yeah, use your imagination. And don't just think about something you've seen or read or heard. And in your imagination, it doesn't even have to be ethical.
Talk about that for a second, because that's really interesting.
Well, I mean, things that people do in their head, you know, you can leave off the condom, for instance, because it's in your head.
That's not ethical.
No, in real life, it definitely is not. And I am definitely not advocating it. But what I'm saying is that what's in your head is in your head. Yeah. And that's not a terrible thing. So an awful lot of people, I've said this 100 million times, a lot of people are put off their orgasm because they're with their partner. Because their partner matters so much. They so want to please their partner that they can't come. You know, that is just a thing. So sometimes thinking about somebody else or going off into your own little fantasy does the trick, you know. And then you open your eyes, there you are with your partner, you're having a nice cuddle, it's been great, you're in a lovely afterglow. Where's the harm?
Yeah. Well, I think there's people listening who would think there was some harm there. But you know, listen, who's the sex therapist here? So that's interesting. And I know I say this all the time, but it just reminds me about the wonderful women from Brown Girls Do It Too who we had on the podcast. Poppy J was saying that, you know, was it Robina? They both were talking about their sexual fantasies. And one of them was saying, you know, they imagine being like a princess up a tower and like a knight coming in and having sex with her. And it's like, so your fantasies can be, you know, they can be all sorts. As we say with some of the unethical stuff, as long as it's a fantasy and not a plan, that's great. So I agree. It basically, use your imagination, but also, I suppose, figure out pleasure. Okay, how about this? Focus on just sensation alone. It's about figuring out what feels good for you and touching all your erogenous zones. Erogenous being what is that? I'm saying a word, I don't even know what it means.
To arousable.
Arousable zones. And to be honest, they're everywhere. They really are.
And it's really interesting that, you know, people who've had spinal cord injuries, their most erogenous zones following the injury are above the site of the spinal cord injury quite often. If you know, if you pay attention to that area, it's really interesting. You can create an erogenous zone anywhere.
Yeah, I feel like I watched a film about a guy in a wheelchair who would orgasm from his ears being touched.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are. I'd love to see that actually.
Yeah,
but there
I
are.
Think it's called. Is it the? I might be butchering this, but I think it's the film called The Intouchables. Now, either he doesn't orgasm, or he just enjoys it.
But you can orgasm from memory. You can orgasm from memory.
What?
You
That's
can.
That's crazy.
And some people who've just come, usually people with vulvas, can come again by just remembering that they just came.
Wow.
With no movement, nothing. Just that, apparently. I mean, it's quite a trick.
Yeah. I sort of have to say, like, I think this is kind of open and shut. How do you figure out pleasure from masturbating away from porn and pornographic content? Use your imagination.
This is a really weird thing because I'm saying get into your head to have the fantasy, but get out of your head and into your body and stop thinking about what you're doing while you're doing it.
Yeah.
So if you want a fantasy with a story, which some people do, then create the story beforehand. Feel you know it so that you're not having to keep going back into your head and going, no, I got that wrong. And then go with that and be prepared to maybe, perhaps at other times, body scan, notice what you're feeling. Try playing with different textures. You know, put jelly on your arm and see what that feels like. Sort of suck some lemons or put an ice cube down your dress. You know, I don't know.
Exactly.
Just let your body feel.
Yeah, if you're looking for other pleasure. I wonder now, reading this again, I wonder whether this person is almost looking for sort of a pure masturbatory experience. How do I figure out pleasure with away from porn and pornographic content without erotic literature, audio, etc.? I'm wondering whether they're sort of thinking that actually they should be able to masturbate without any sort of erotic thing going through their head or any sort of erotic stimuli.
To do in the olden days. I mean, not going through your head. I mean, if it's fantasy.
But this is what I mean. I sort of feel like I might be wrong here, but I'm sort of wondering whether they're sort of thinking, oh, well, actually, I should be able to do it without any sort of mental stimuli at all. And actually, your head and what you're thinking about and your brain is so connected to what's going on.
Well, normally you have physical and mental stimuli. If you're having partnered sex, you've got both, haven't you?
Yeah,
you've got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I sort of think the two things kind of need to work in tandem, right?
Yeah. You can be too much in your head or you can be too much in your body. There is a balance. I mean, it's hard to be too much in your body because your head kind of sorts itself out if your body's doing all right.
Exactly. And so actually, look, so that's what I'm saying, because you're saying quite rightly, scan your body, think about what sensations feel nice. You're using your brain to focus in on those moments and really focus and really, really feel those moments. You can't separate the two things. It can't be like you just have a completely blank head, standing naked in the middle of your room, just yanking it for half an hour. That's not going to make you come. I mean, not that we should be thinking about, actually, maybe that's another thing.
I can't get that image out of my head now.
But I mean, maybe that's an extreme example. But do you know what I mean? It's just sort of like, I wonder whether that's what they're looking for. You know, this sort of pure orgasm. And it's like, I don't think that's...
Does it exist? I mean, one thing is, when you're in the shower or the bath or whatever, you know, there are lots of opportunities to notice, to be mindful, because there are smells with all the soap and everything. You've got bubbles. You can feel what is it like washing yourself with your hand, with a loofah, with a flannel, you know, with soap.
Does it feel like when the hot water is
exactly like, dripping all over,
dripping
you,
on your flowing, head and touching your hair? But then
turn up the shower volume. You know, what does that feel like? Is it better, worse, hotter, colder? You know. It's a different experience each
and that
time.
Teaches you the sort of how to body scan and how to notice these different sensations.
It teaches you to notice. There are some exercises that we give people just to notice. And if you have difficulty, I mean, if you have difficulty scanning your whole body, just go from the top to the toe and just focus on the top of your head. Just briefly, just give yourself a few minutes, give yourself plenty of time to just really notice what's going on, wait and feel. And then, you know, keep focusing on that area for that day. So when you go outside, notice what it feels like when the air hits the top of your head, for instance, what it feels like coming into a warm room, what it feels like when there's a breeze, you know, all of that.
Yeah.
It's quite
and
fun.
Then, yeah, exactly. And then when you're experienced with that, you focus on the top of the head of your penis.
Then you move down to your forehead.
Oh, right, okay.
It's a slow process.
It fucking well is.
Top of your penis, for God's sake.
Sorry, come on. Right.
Seriously.
I think that's probably a good place to finish, don't you? Finish.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
Enough.
What? Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Very much appreciate it, as per usual. Do get in touch with us if you would like to ask us a question. Ask Mum a question, let's be real. I think some of my interjections today have not been good. I have to say as well, earlier in part one, when you were talking, you said about that couple, you said, you do you. And I was sat there, people watching on YouTube will see, I was biting my bottom lip for about 5 minutes, having to say, she doesn't mean masturbate. And luckily we got away with it, but I still had to get that out now. And that just tells you what a detriment I am to the podcast. So please.
What is going on, Diggs?
I don't know. This is self-flagellation.
Don't say that. I know you enjoy that. So let's just move on rapidly.
Okay. All right, guys. Please, if you want to hear more about that, get in touch on the anonymous Google form in the bio of this episode and our social media channels. We're at the RSC Pod on Instagram, TikTok, and X.
Formerly known as Twitter.
If you don't know by now, you'll never know. Follow us where you listen to this now, because apparently 50% of you who listen to this aren't following or subscribed on the YouTube.
What?
50%, which I kind of love that, because it means that people are discovering us. But it's like, you got to get following, guys, because think about some of the cracking chat we've just had, and there's more of that. There really is more of that.
Yeah, and on any topic you decide, because you can ask us a question.
Yeah, and guys, I'm not going to lie, we're quite severely low on lunch-related chat as well.
Oh, God, don't. So, this is bad.
Yeah, it's real bad.
It's bad. I haven't seen an avocado for days.
No. Exactly. Mm. So, guys, please do help Mum out. Help yourself out. Ask your questions. Send in your lunch. And we'll see you next time for some real sex education. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Real Sex Education, which is hosted by Diggory Waite and Kate Campbell. The show is produced by Diggory Waite, and the executive producer is Claire Broughton. The Real Sex Education is a Hattrick podcast.
This podcast is based on the real-life relationship between Diggory Waite and his mother, accredited sex therapist Kate Campbell. The show is therefore inspired by, but otherwise unrelated to, the TV show Sex Education. But yes, Diggory does wish his mother was played by Gillian Anderson.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,